to be learned if you can just cool it a bit.
That's correct.
Anita Sengupta, thank you so very much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Anita Sengupta is an aerospace engineer at NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory and the project manager of the Cold Atom Laboratory.
So in the show, we've heard a lot of examples of interesting motion, including locomotion of animals and how they developed all these clever ways of getting around, but also how the motion of very small things tells you something about the motion of very big things. And finally, how if you try and stop motion by cooling a bunch of atoms down to almost absolute zero, you get a whole new kind of material that in the future might be extraordinarily useful to us.
Well, and to be clear, you don't stop the motion. You try to stop the motion of the atoms, but you're not able to. You get to cool them down enough so that they're very, very sluggish and they produce this weird behavior, but you can't actually get temperatures so cold that the motion of atoms stops.
Yeah. Well, indeed. I mean, but it's more than just a tour de force to, you know, lower things to within a billionth of a degree of absolute zero, because you're creating a new form of matter. It's truly amazing. It's like, you know, when, I don't know, cooking was invented and you took advantage of very high temperatures to produce something new, a new form of matter called a steak, for example. You know, it all goes back to the Big Bang, as most things do, because the Big Bang created time. And motion is just change of position with time. Without that, nothing would ever change. You wouldn't die, yeah, but you also would never live.
So you mean with time? Without time, we would not have motion?
Well, that's right, because things couldn't go anywhere. I mean, they would be the same whenever you looked, because whenever you looked, it would be the same time. There would be no change. There would be no time. And you know what? There could even be universes like that where nothing ever changes. But, you know, if you study physics, you realize rather quickly that the study of statics, where things don't move, is not nearly as interesting as dynamics and kinematics, where things do move. And think about what, in fact, precipitated modern science. It was studying the motions of the planets. It wasn't studying the forces you could put on a fluted column.
Well, we talked about in the show very slow movements, such as the speed of sluggish atoms that have been cooled down quite a bit. And we know that the upper limit of speed is the speed of light, but there's a lot of range in between.
There is, and we're actually seldom aware of it in our daily life, because we see things that move around at, you know, the speed of walking, the speed of cars, the speed of airplanes. The atoms in this room are moving around at about the speed of sound, you know, a mile every 4 seconds, but, you know, they don't go very far before they bump into things. And then again, you can imagine a time-lapse photo of the Earth spanning billions of years, and you would see continents moving around at the speed of which your thumbnail grows. Motion on all scales.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for a special edition of our Tuesday Forum. This is Jay Koronik live in the WHFR studios. It's our pledge week. Once a week, every year, we have to ask you for financial support. And just to get your attention, it's only 1 week a year we do it, not two or three. And we are an all-volunteer, independent, non-commercial radio station. One of the few in the Detroit area, in fact. And we have an all-volunteer staff of 50-plus people. And I myself and two others are part-time faculty supervisors for this team. But it's been fantastic. 32 years and still going strong. They said it couldn't be done, but here it is. Okay. And this hour, normally the third Tuesday from 1 to 2 o'clock each month is one of our locally produced talk shows on topics, special topics, extended topics of interest to the community. And this third Tuesday is always Metaphysically Speaking, has been for about, oh, I guess 5 or 6 years at least, maybe longer. Probably longer, because Mike Holloway, the host of Metaphysically Speaking, has also been with us longer than that as a blues DJ here. And then, well, actually, that's why he must have been doing this show for more than 10 years, because we've just had our 9th annual Holistic Fair, which is a range of people who are associated with the metaphysical arts of one sort or another. And here we are today. Mike is not able to be here, but I am here, and I'm going to play a segment of all of our forum shows from the last month. In case you didn't catch them, maybe you've never heard these before, so it's going to be a very exciting hour, but also I'm going to tell you how to make a pledge to us. One of the things we need money for this year, and we can't operate with a lot of basic funds, we need $14,000, $15,000 for our satellite delivery service. It's that expensive. And we get programming for that money, too, such as Classical 24 that runs every night from midnight to 10 in the morning. And programs like you just heard, Big Picture Science, our science talk show, and on Thursdays at 2 o'clock, the TED Radio Hour, and at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, Philosophy Talk. Yes. And those are great talk show programs that you can't hear anywhere else in your dial in the Detroit area. And we just think they're just amazingly interesting. I learned so much listening to Big Picture Science in the last hour. And of course, if you want more information, you can go to radio.seti.org for Big Picture Science lists and past programs, too. So what is this pledge drive all about? Well, raising money. We need 60% of our funds. We need about $12,000 from this event. And we're still doing fundraisers other times of the year, like Holistic Fair, the record show that we do out and about at homecoming. So we're still needing of donations. We need to raise about $25,000 to $30,000 every year altogether in order to just pay our required bills. If we don't pay them, we can't stay on the air. Just that simple. This year specifically, we've got to take a big chunk of the money we get in, $8,000, to get a new phone system here. We used to have 6 working phone lines that we could answer well and talk to you, and you could talk to us. Right now we have 1 working phone line, 313-317-4130. And you can call me as soon as we start a segment of MetaSpeak, as we call it around here, metaphysically speaking, from last month. That little taste of last month, in case you didn't hear all of it. It's, of course, saved on our website as a podcast. So if you're interested, you can just go back to that. The other way you can donate very easily is to our own website, whfr.fm. That's it. That's how our website, that's how you get there. Type in whfr.fm. Mm-hmm. And click on the Radiothon 2017 banner in the center of the page, and you'll see all the pledge donations very quickly. $30 pledge, our WHFR logo t-shirt, brand new silver gray with a black logo, really classy look, brand new for this year. At the $52 pledge level, our new Radiothon mascot this year is a lion. So we have and we're trying to get new phone systems, so we're calling him our phone lion. And we're not lying. It's a plush lion, about 6, 7, 8 inches high, depending on how we brush his mane. And he's wearing a WHFR logo t-shirt. And that's what we're giving a $52 pledge. He's created quite a stir around here. Everybody sees the picture of him. There's a picture on our website. Everybody wants a phone lion. Maybe to sit by your phone at home or carry him with you in your alternate pocket from your cell phone. I don't know. $125. Our WHFR logo double port portable phone charger. That's an extra battery, if you don't know what a phone charger is, that you charge up maybe once every 4 or 5 months, and it keep it with you on trips, in your bag, in your briefcase, whatever, in case your phone or your tablet runs low, you can just plug it into the phone charger and get hours more use. So it's a great backup plan, especially if your power goes out in the city for 4 days, as I discovered. I use mine, I know. At the $250 pledge level, an engraved brass leaf on our WHFR family tree, a wall sculpture right outside our entrance. Or you can choose a WHFR logo embroidered Land's End jacket. Your choice of styles, your choice of colors and sizes, up to $90 retail value. Also at $500, we have dinner for up to 4 people at Henry Ford College's 5101 restaurant. And there's some really fancy buffets coming up, and you could choose to come during a buffet instead of a regular luncheon or dinner. And then afterwards, we'll give you a great tour of our WHFR studios, answer all your questions. Love to meet you. So there we go. That's the pledges. We need your support. Call me right now. I'm right here, 313-317-4130. Here's a few minutes of the beginning of MetaSpeak, Metaphysically Speaking, Tuesday Forum from last month, February 21st.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And this month, my special guest is Reverend Gregory Geis. He is the senior minister of Detroit Unity Temple and an author. Throughout his life, he has been a counselor, teacher, and social worker in the Detroit area. Along the way, he has received many honors, including Michiganian of the Year from the Detroit News in 2008. Good afternoon, Reverend Geis. How are you?
I'm positive, and thank you for inviting me to be on your wonderful program. It's an honor for me to be here, so thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. I do appreciate it. Now, judging from the introduction I just gave, you've been a counselor, a teacher, a social worker. Obviously, you like to work with people. Is this true?
Oh, all my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a very, very something I'm very proud of, but it also goes back to the fact that I've always been blessed to have other people who've worked with me. Sometimes it's sort of a way of giving it forward. So I've been blessed to have good men and women who have been involved in my life, and that sometimes that's how it worked. You give back to what was given to you, and I've been blessed to have many great teachers and individuals who have assisted in my life going forward, and I'm just grateful to give back to others as way it was given to me.
Mm-hmm. And what led you to become a minister in the Unity movement, whatever you might want to call it?
Well, I have to say that it was many factors, because I never intended on becoming a minister, even though my mother may have prophesized it.
Oh, really?
I always knew I was wanting to be a teacher or public servant. And then I guess after many years of teaching, because I've taught Head Start, I've taught in the high school, I've taught in the parochial system, and I've been very active as a community servant or community leader, activist. And then one day, at being at Detroit Unity Temple, my minister, Reverend Argentina Glasgow, simply asked me the question, had I ever thought about becoming a minister? And at that particular time, there was a program called the Urban Ministerial School, and I decided to get involved, which was led by Reverend Ruth Mosley, and I got involved, and next thing you know, I was on my way. But it came after just several years of serving, being involved in SCLC, being involved in programs in the Detroit area that was leading up to it. And I have to say, if it wasn't for young people who I was counseling, because I was a clinical psychologist first, and they used to say, Mr. Geis, you always preaching to us. Mr. Geis, you always trying to tell us what to do. So I was preaching before I knew it, and finally those young people telling me that I was preaching and counseling and ministering, I decided I might as well go where I'm being called to go.
Right. You saw the light at that point, right? I mean, just by virtue of the fact that it's interesting, they obviously saw something in you and kind of reinforced that, and then you just said, well, that light bulb went off and said, well, maybe I should follow this up. So you entered into the training program?
Yes.
And how was that?
Well, the Urban Ministerial School was an area where, you know, sometimes you always look for something that you feel that you were called to do, because I was always going to be involved in the community. And I'm the grandson of a Baptist minister. And my grandfather back in Birmingham, Alabama, was very much involved in ministry. He worked directly with Dr. King when he was in Birmingham, those years in the 60s. My mother was a very strong minister, I guess you can say a person very involved in ministry herself. So that spiritual connection was always there. And so I just tended to have directed it towards community. And I always was very much involved. What Unity offered me, though, was the metaphysical aspect, because I always wanted something deeper than just the traditional fundamentalist aspect of spiritual or ministry. Unity offered me something a little deeper where I could go towards something I was always seeking. And going to Unity provided me that outlet, that search for truth, which fed me where I was. Once I found that, it opened the door where I was able to go towards being a Unity minister. And that was critical for my search for truth. So that came together when I just found Unity, which opened the door to become a Unity minister.
Mm-hmm. And once you got, was it a degree that you received?
I actually received I became licensed and orientated, and not necessarily a degree, because I had already had my master's in clinical psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went into the urban ministerial school, I became licensed and ordained in Unity Ministerial School.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you did that, where did that lead? What was your first position?
Once I got ordained in the year 2000, I wound up going to Fort Wayne, Indiana, where my first church was at. And that was a wonderful place. I think the person where I went, he must have been shocked, because I showed up at his house and I had 30 box of books that came with me.
That's a heavy load.
30 box of books. And it was, but it was a fantastic place to go to. It was called Unity of Fort Wayne. And there is where I also met my wife, Francine Geis. I'm going to have to say, you know, she was a blessing to meet. But it opened the door for me to begin my ministerial experience and to find out what ministry was about in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I really got involved and met great people, but I found out what I was able to bring and offer into a wonderful community in Fort Wayne. As you know, Fort Wayne was the home of the Detroit Pistons.
Yes, originally, yes, right. Zollers or Zollners, was it?
Pistons?
Yeah, something like that anyway. But yeah, they obviously made it to Detroit, which very apropos name for Detroit, you know, the Pistons. But now, when you follow through with that, how long were you there?
I was there for 5 years. And it was a great opportunity, because we created a program called Unity of Love Family Reconnect. We got involved with the reentry program. If you remember, that's when 9/11 took place. Mm-hmm. So we were able to come together as a community and began to get actively involved in the community there after 9/11. And we pulled several community organizations together of different faith-based orientations, but we put together something called Unity of Love Family Reconnect. There we worked with prison returning citizens and helped them reconnect within their lives. And that was something that was very positive. We also got involved with the Negro Baseball League that was in, you know, Kansas City, and began mm-hmm. to build. And Buck O'Neill, who was a Negro baseball player.
Right.
And worked with their minor league baseball team. And so we got very involved in the community in Fort Wayne and built a strong community relationship with that. And through our community organization, Unity of Love Family Reconnect, working with returning citizens, we got involved with the Community Correction Agency. So we were able to build a community grassroots organization through Unity there, and build an working with faith-based organizations of all sorts, and build a wonderful grassroots organization.
Mm-hmm. And from there, where did you go?
From there, I came back to Detroit. Got involved with Detroit here for the first time from 2005 to 2008, and stayed here for 3 years. Then I went up to Lake Orion, Michigan, and stayed up there for another 5 years, and came back to Detroit Unity Temple in 2011, and where I'm currently still serving.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been the senior minister?
When I came back in 2005, I served as a co-minister with Reverend Argentina Glasgow, and I also got married in 2005 to Francine, my current wife. But when we went to Lake Orion, served up there, but we came back here, and I took over the full reign of Detroit Unity Temple in 2011 as their senior minister. And I've been senior minister since 2011.
Mm-hmm. What is your mission at that church? What would you say that is?
The mission at Detroit Unity Temple, I would say, to assist the individuals and to grow, to be a part of Detroit Unity Temple. We put a tagline on there that says, Detroit Unity Temple, an institute for higher spiritual learning, to assist individuals to achieving their highest spiritual potential. It's almost, I'm sure, like they do right here at Henry Ford College, to help students to achieve their highest spiritual educational potential, but I would say there, to help individuals achieve their highest spiritual potential.
That's just a 10-minute segment of the show that was broadcast last month in this time slot, the third Tuesday of each month, metaphysically speaking, locally produced talk show. Mike Holloway is the host, and he's had many, many guests that have been part of the metaphysical arts, as we would call them. And you might say, first of all, hey, you want to hear the rest of it? Want to hear more about Detroit Unity Temple? Because it's not your usual kind of church. First of all, that's one reason why we put it in the metaphysical arts category here. If you want to hear the whole show, just go to our website, whfr.fm, click on the talk shows, and then there's only two choices after you click on that. And this is a Tuesday forum show, and click on that, and then go for the date, and it's 221, February 21st, 2017. And you can listen to it all. You could download the show file, whatever, and find out what you didn't hear last month, perhaps. If you did hear it last month, then good for you. You're ready to join to support us today and this week. All during this week, we're asking for your support to keep WHFR on the air. Yes, it's that direct. It's that blatant. We need to raise about 70% of our budget each year in order to pay the bills that we have to pay. Yes, some of it is for new equipment, new supplies. We're trying to get a new phone system, which is a broadcast quality phone system. The college provides telephones to the campus, but they don't buy our specialized equipment that we need to broadcast with. Six lines in and various switching controls, and they're over 20 years old and they're unreliable. So we even have a new phone number this week that we think is reliable for calls, but only one line, that's all we got now. And so we need $8,000 in order to get this new phone equipment, both in the studio and when we go on location to broadcast from. Because that equipment right now is all analog equipment, and analog is almost gone. The analog way of transferring telephone signals is gone pretty much. And almost every business that we go into and every venue we go into, like a nightclub or whatever, they all have digital stuff, and we can't use it. So we're really limited, and we're not able to share with you all the great things going on in the community because our remote broadcast package is out of date, and our phone lines in the studio are malfunctioning a lot of the time. So we've got to spend that $8,000 along with some of our regular bill amounts. So your pledge of support, 313-317-4130, would be greatly appreciated, or you can go online to WHFR.fm, click on the Radiothon 2017 banner right in the middle of the page, and a donation form will jump up there. Besides individual pledge incentives I mentioned a few minutes ago for different levels, a little thank you gifts we're happy to share with you. Here's another special thing that's happening as part of any pledge over $30.
It is Radiothon week here at WHFR, and we are offering you a special incentive to pledge your support. WHFR has teamed up with the fine folks at Village Ford of Dearborn to give you the chance to win a full weekend lease of a new Ford vehicle. All you have to do is be a licensed and insured driver, 21 or older, and make a pledge of $30 or more to WHFR, and you are automatically entered. That's right, call now to 313-317-4130 and support the great programming you enjoy on WHFR with your pledge of $30 or more, and we will enter you into a drawing to win a full weekend lease of a Ford vehicle from Dearborn's Village Ford. Someone will be driving around in a new Ford car for a weekend. It could be you.
Drawing to take place by May 31st. Vehicle lease weekend to be completed by June 30th, 2017. Some restrictions apply. Again, the number is 313 313- 317-4130.
That's, isn't that a fantastic idea? So just one person, if you give a pledge of $30 or more, you'll be entered in our drawing. And really, it only takes a couple of hundred of people pledging $30 or more, and we're able to keep going for another year. And if you can give $100, fantastic. At $125, let's see. Ooh, it's that WHFR logo double portable phone charger, which I used to within an inch of its life last week when I had no electrical power here for 3 days. I never can tell when you might need that kind of thing for your portable devices. It works with either cell phones or different tablets like iPads. And you just have to have the right adapter cable, but it works with all those devices. That would be for $125 pledge if you'd like to receive that. Again, it's WHFR.FM, the station making waves that you're listening to, and a special edition of, well, metaphysically speaking, specifically for this month. It is the third Tuesday of the month, but it's also our Radiothon edition to talk about all of our Tuesday Forum programs here and all of our incentives. Let me tell you about one more. And it's our phone lion. That's right. It's a plush toy. It is a lion. He's got a smile on his face and a big fluffy mane. And here's information about how to get the phone lion.
Hello, WHFR listeners. It's our annual Radiothon, and we need your support to help with our many expenses of operating a non-commercial radio station. This year, your generous support will help us upgrade our aging on-air telephone system so we can continue to provide quality in-studio programming and remote broadcasts. So, for your donation of $52, we will send you our Radiothon mascot, the WHFR Phone Lion. The WHFR Phone Lion is a cute and cuddly plush toy lion wearing a blue t-shirt with our WHFR logo on it. So this year, your donation of $52 will help us upgrade our phone line, and we will gladly send you our phone lion as a way of saying thank you for your support. So call now. The number to our phone lion is 313-317-4130.
Rawr.
That's 313-317-4130, or go to WHFR.FM to donate online.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Okay, we have two special guests in the WHFR studios right now, and you'll hear them talking a little while. They have to get set up here. And that was our phone lion. I was just demonstrating him, if you will. I was holding him up and wiggling his little arms. And he's got a very, very fluffy mane, sort of unkempt for a lion. It's sort of going all different directions, but very stylish. And he'll be wearing a WHFR logo t-shirt. That's for a $52 pledge. I think everybody needs a little squishy, smiley thing near them any time in their life, especially if they have a difficult moment or two or want to relieve the stress a little bit. And he's our phone lion because we need that phone system, both internal and external, in order to keep those calls coming in, but also in order to keep talking to you and having your input on a regular basis here at WHFR. So the phone line that we think does work into the studio, 313-317-4130. Okay. And the website, of course, that you can donate at too at any time is WHFR.FM. So now we're going to start a segment from our fourth Tuesday show. And from last month, that was February 28th. And we're going to just jump into it a little bit past the introduction here. And it was hosted by Betty Daniels. And take a listen.
Conditions in the South, and they thought it was a little bit better up north. So as people arrived in places like Detroit or Chicago.
I probably should mention that I believe that her special guests are talking about the Detroit Urban League.
And so the Urban League came into existence, yep, to provide for the needs of African Americans who were moving to these communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you got the Urban League in Detroit in 1916. The Detroit Urban League came into existence to deal with that big influx of African Americans coming. There were a large number of people who were social workers who came to work for the Urban League,
right,
and helped work to get people situated and positioned as they established themselves.
Okay,
here.
Now I'm going to, because you give me a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
Were there, because in the national organization, if my understanding is correct,
mm-hmm.
it was a combination of the black women's mm-hmm. group and then mm-hmm. another group, and then so mm-hmm. they combined to come to the Urban League.
Yes.
Was that the same thing with the Detroit affiliate, or was it some a little bit distinctive?
Well, a little distinctive. I think the Detroit Urban League just sort of started the National Urban League, 6 years after the National Urban League was founded.
All
they
right.
started establishing affiliates around the country.
Right.
I think it's interesting, it's in the NAACP, local entities are called chapters,
all right,
and they actually are more mandated to follow explicit what the national does. In the Urban League, we're called affiliates, and each of us are independent 501c3s. We're sort of akin to a franchise, like you were a fast food franchise,
okay,
or something.
All right. All
so
right.
each of us have a we have a basic mission that right. the National Urban League has to enable
right.
African Americans and other people of color reach their fullest potential. But every Urban League is a little different. Some
right.
do things that others don't do. Most of us are all involved in workforce activities.
All
Most
right.
of us are all involved in, say, education, youth initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some Urban Leagues who are heavily involved in housing.
All right.
They build housing, they manufacture housing.
Mm-hmm.
In Detroit, we don't do that. But
all right.
In past years, the Urban League has had housing counseling, for example. But each affiliate is a little bit different than the X. But we have a mandate to follow certain, what they call, terms of affiliation,
all right.
certain standards, certain all right. activities, and we pay dues to the National
All
League,
right.
So.
I saw that, I had thought that maybe because each city may had, you know, little distinctive mm-hmm. challenges,
yes.
okay, and it had its own little flavor,
mm-hmm.
that might have been why there have been differences, but you explained it much
yeah,
better.
Well, but that, but yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, that's the former Speaker of the House, now deceased Tip O'Neill, used to say, all politics are local. So depending on what's important in that community, you
mm-hmm.
know, that the Urban League does that. Sometimes it fills a void.
All right.
But in some communities, there's so much other stuff going on. There are a lot of different housing groups in Detroit area. So
right.
The Detroit Urban League itself does not have a separate housing unit, so to speak. We're not
right.
building houses.
Okay. Now, when I was also thinking about the different things, you brought up the fact that the NAACP and the Urban League are you a collaborative organization? You work, you know,
yeah.
just how, what is the interaction between the
well,
two?
Well, you know, it was interesting when I was interviewed for this position some 30 years ago, I was working for the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And the search committee asked me this question, you know, what is the difference between the NAACP and the Urban League? And
mm-hmm.
my simple answer was that the NAACP breaks down the door.
Okay.
The Urban League walks in. So, you know, but the NAACP is a much more advocacy-based organization.
Right.
They, you know, they file lawsuits. They fight to break the barriers.
Right.
So if the NAACP is successful in creating employment opportunities, the Urban League can come in with its employment service staff and resources
mm-hmm.
and work to get the community to get employment. So we are two separate organizations, but when we are doing what our missions call for us to
mm-hmm.
do, then the community really benefits from that from that work.
I know in my reading I saw one time they said that the Urban League is the State Department and the NAACP is the war room.
Well, that might be another description. They're breaking down the door and we're walking in. Yeah, that may be. But they're two different organizations. And oftentimes, because we're predominantly African-American organization in this community, the community sort of expects the same thing from us often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough sometimes to let the community know that's not something we do.
All right.
We don't file lawsuits.
Okay.
That's something that ACP does.
All right.
So it's just kind of challenging, but you know, we do a variety of things. I would say that the Urban League sometimes is a schizophrenic type organization, and that is has so many different things that it's expected to do or does.
All right. One of the other questions I had was that a the NAACP is known to have be multiracial or interracial. Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing with the Urban League?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I think in the Urban League, one of the first things they ask us to do in the terms of affiliation mm-hmm. is to try to make sure we have a diverse board.
All right.
So we have people from all walks of life mm-hmm. on our board of directors. Currently, we try to make sure we have African American, mm-hmm. white, Arab, Hispanic. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Detroit, we have one of the programs we'll talk about probably later is WIC, mm-hmm. but we have Arabic-speaking staff because mm-hmm. we have a large number of Arab population that we serve.
All right.
And we have Hispanic or Spanish-speaking staff because mm-hmm. we serve a large Hispanic population. So we're a mixed, varied organization, much more so than our state NAACP is.
All right. My question, because I think a number of people tend to, when they say Urban League, they tend to think of it as the African-American organization. Mm-hmm. And you just described the fact that it's a multiracial. It does that, because it has that image, I guess, in the community, does that create problems for you? And if so,
well, it doesn't really create problems. I think in the beginning, mm-hmm. it would have been easy to say that the Urban League served mostly African-Americans, population in the beginning. Right. But as time goes on, and I often tell people this from a variety of communities, that when people need help, mm-hmm. they need help.
All right.
And most of the times, you're not looking at the color of the people who are providing you food or mm-hmm. who are helping you find a job. Mm-hmm. You're thanking them for the service that they're providing. So it doesn't pose a big problem for us. I think from an image-wise, Daniel, I think it's important for us to figure out how to get the word across more clearly and more regularly so mm-hmm. people understand that we're a very diverse organization. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Urban League, say, in Tucson, Arizona, mm-hmm. that probably serves more Hispanic population than they do African Americans because of where they're located.
Okay.
So in Detroit, there's a heavy African American population. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we would probably serve a lot of African Americans. But we have a WIC clinic in Dearborn.
All right.
And we have a WIC clinic in Southwest Detroit on West Verna, deep in Southwest Detroit. So we are serving people from all walks of life. And when they walk through the door, you know, from the history standpoint, there's no colored water fountain. That's one water fountain.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Do you get some challenges from the African-American community that maybe you are should not diversify and should stay?
Oh, absolutely not. Okay. No, I've never had that. I never in my years of working in the NAACP and in the Urban League, I've never mm-hmm. seen that. I mean, I started out as a youth member of the NAACP in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
And I got involved because of school issues mm-hmm. in North Carolina. Charlotte Mecklenburg school system used to bus us for the purpose of segregation. Mm-hmm. And when the courts ruled in 1970-71 that Charlotte Mecklenburg was discriminating and segregating the schools, mm-hmm. when they integrated the Charlotte Mecklenburg schools, we had too many school buses. You know, up north, the cry was busing was bad. But in the south, mm-hmm. busing was okay if it was used to segregate.
Okay.
So Charlotte Mecklenburg had a surplus of buses when they were forced to integrate schools.
All right.
So, I got involved in the NAACP as a high school student. And throughout my career in NAACP and the Urban League, I've always seen a mixed population of people who care and mm-hmm. who are involved.
All right. Now, and I was, in the different, I know you were talking about 106 years, is that correct?
For the National Urban League, it's 106 years. So okay. Detroit Urban League is 101 years now.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when they started out, they had certain challenges because there's a move, the Black Migration, as it was termed. And then what they met when they came to the northern cities. Mm-hmm. Then as it evolved, then you had to break the trade unions, then they had to the armed forces. Mm-hmm. Those are all the different challenges. You know, it's like your roots are that's a foundation. Mm-hmm. All right. Based on what the organization started out with, how does that impact what you're dealing with today?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting as we look at the history of the Urban League. As I said earlier, there have been eight presidents in mm-hmm. 101 years of the Detroit Urban League.
Right.
And I count twice. But
okay.
I
one of the persons who served the Urban League the longest, John Dancy.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dancy joined the Urban League in 1918.
All right.
And retired in 1960, right. 42 years later.
All right.
But when I read John Dancy's biography, he talked about the work that he did at the Urban League then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Urban League had baby clinics.
All right.
The Urban League did house calls, social work, house calls, door right. to door. The Urban League, you know, back then they called it vocational services, then it became employment services, and today it's called workforce, but it was the same thing.
Right.
The Urban League had the Pen and Palette Club. It was working with young students and teaching them and helping them with their writing and their development. And so it's kind of ironic.
Pretty interesting story that was told in total last month for an hour about the Detroit Urban League. Betty Daniels, host of that show on the fourth Tuesday of every month. It's a show called Impact, and we actually have another episode of it every second Tuesday from 1 to 2 o'clock. So we have two Impact shows. That's a lot of impact every month. And the nature of Impact is to talk about local nonprofit groups, organizations that have official nonprofit tax status that are doing good things for the community with very little resources. They might get a donation from the county or the state or even the federal government, but they have to raise their money, and they exist by volunteer help too, just like WHFR has to do, except we don't get federal money or state money or local county money. We just get a stipend of student fees, a small part of student fees, not from the Henry Ford College budget here, but from student fees that also go to the theater department, music department, and the college newspaper. And each of those organizations, we have to raise all the rest of our money ourselves in order to keep going, which is very real world and very important. Anyway, so we're here with a special Radiothon edition of the forum program, the Tuesday forum program. And in fact, coming up after the show, starting at 2 o'clock, we're going to have our 50s and 60s old time music show, if you want to say that. Today, the regular host, Daddy G, is gone on vacation. Yes, he's gone on vacation during Radiothon. But, you know, you have to get these tickets way in advance, so we're not blaming him for that. And Lynn Grunst, who is also a host of our Tuesday Forum shows, the second Tuesday Forum Impact Show, and she's going to be hosting today. But we already have special guests right here in the studio. And it is Sheila Burke and Joe Kidd. So let me at least have you say hello here. I think your microphones are on now. So
hello, hello.
Okay.
Very good.
I can hear you. I can hear you now. Yes. And they are both musicians. That's your day job and your evening job these days?
It is. Okay. It is our job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good job.
Well, they do it so well, too. They performed together for us at Holistic Fair last Saturday during the day, which was a very successful event. We had 12 different groups of musicians as well as vendors selling different things related to metaphysical arts. But the music was a wonderful part of it, and this has been their sixth year of doing it for us, volunteering their time. And that's just, well, that's just wonderful. Would you describe your music as folk music, pop folk? How would you talk about that?
Well, we have been described by others as Americana and world music. So
That's good.
That's the tag that we're wearing right now.
Okay, very very.
We are known
impressive.
As Joe Kidd and Sheila Burke, and as you were saying, this is our sixth year to participate in WHFR's Radiothon. We're thrilled to be here in the studio with you today, and we are asking our listeners to call in and pledge their support. Now, you can call 313-317-4130 right now, or you can go online to www.whfr.fm. And I want to mention a couple of items here. For a $30 pledge, you can get a WHFR logo t-shirt or for a $52 pledge, you'll receive a WHFR phone lion. And it's the cutest little thing. It's a plush little stuffed lion, and it has a WHFR shirt, its own little blue t-shirt, and as cute as can be. And if you're feeling mighty generous today, and I know we all really appreciate the support here, for a $125 pledge, you can get the WHFR logo, double port portable phone charger, and there are a couple of other gifts here as well. I'll go ahead and
What
read
about
them.
The baseball cap? Is well, that
well, you know,
being
we,
offered?
We do have them. In fact, they were selling the caps on campus here at the Fine Arts Building until 2:30 today, but maybe our listeners aren't available to swing over there today. We actually have a number of our items available online from our website. That is at whfr.fm. There is a WHFR store. Let me see it here. It says Shop WHFR at the top. So if you click on that, some of our regular items, like a baseball cap, okay, they have to order it through the website, and the money, the profit from that will go back to WHFR that way. But unfortunately, except for those physical caps that are sitting on the other side of the campus now, we can't actually write that into the pledge forms that are in front of people. But they can go to the website and order all kinds of different items from Shop WHFR, WHFR.fm. I will say also, if you want to catch us live, but not necessarily on campus, we have, as we do almost always, we have live event playing blues music. We have two great Detroit blues bands performing, Ray Can's Detroit Trouble and the Garden of Soul at New Place Lounge. That's 22723 Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn. That's going to be this Saturday, March 25th from 9 p.m. to midnight. And, of course, we love local music artists such as Joe Kidd and Sheila Burke, who are in the studio with us right now, and all the wonderful blues artists. And that's one of our missions in all of our different music categories, to play as much of local musicians' great music as we can on the air. We're the only station that is truly trying to play local music as much as possible. And again, we have the great Joe Kidd and Sheila Burke in the studio. And other places that people might be able to catch you performing coming up. I know you're out and about and perform a variety of different venues throughout each year, but you have a scheduled performance coming up somewhere right now?
You can check all of that information out at our website, www.joekiddandsheilaburke.com.
And that's Kidd with two D's.
That's what we do.
Double D's on Kidd, right?
Yes.
Yes, of course it is. I knew that. I just think some people may think, oh, it's just Joe Kidd, K-I-D, and then they don't connect because they don't realize it was double D's there. But
You know, Jay, I was surprised to learn that WHFR is an independent radio station.
Yes.
Entirely supported by its listeners. And we love this station. When we travel internationally, whenever we go on tour, we mentioned, people always ask how we met and where we got together. And Joe and I have both been in the music industry for many years. So here's a little story for you, that we met at a benefit, and a year later we bumped into each other again at your radiothon here, your holistic fair that you just had this past weekend.
6 years ago.
So he pulled out a song he had written 12 hours prior. We sang it together. He invited me to set in with him on his set. And within 8 months, we won our first Detroit Music Award. And we've since recorded that on our new CD. And we've even won a Global Music Award with that song. That the very first time that we sang it together was right here at your WHFR Radiothon.
Wow.
So we are thrilled to support WHFR. FM. We want to do anything and everything that we can to encourage you to call in now with your support or go online.
Yep, our phone number is 313-317-4130. Getting people together, that's what we're all about. Getting great musicians, local musicians, as much as possible on the air so that people can enjoy the great variety of music that's out there. Some people say, well, I don't like pop music today. Yeah, some people say that. Yeah. Because it's on all the radio stations. You hear it a lot. It sounds to me very, very similar Because when I grew up in the 1950s and 60s, and that's the show coming up from 2 to 4 today, we're going to have a lot of 1950s and 60s music. There was a much greater variety of melodies and songs and lyrics and styles than today. And Lynn Grinst is going to be sitting in for Daddy G this afternoon and helping with the pledge pitches, Joe Kidd and Sheila Burke, who just talked about how WHFR helped them get together. So if you want to get together with us to help our mission and their mission, 313-317-4130. We've got three able-bodied people besides myself that are willing to take your pledge right now. $30 pledge level, a great new WHFR t-shirt. It's the same logo, but it's a steel gray t-shirt with a black emblazoned logo on front. So it's very classy, very stylish. At $52, our phone lion, our plush toy, about 6 inches high with the WHFR t-shirt all his own. He's going to be there staring at you, and he's our phone lion. And we're not lying about this because we need a phone system. We need that phone system in the studio so we can give our regular phone number and have five more lions, not lions, available.
People can call in.
Yeah, people can call in all they want to, and we can talk to them easily. Right now, in answering the phone even, I have to hit it with a hammer practically to make the button go down. And they don't even make this model anymore that we're using in the station here, so we can't even get it fixed. That's why we need, that's the number one thing we have to get this week, and that is a new phone system, both internally and externally, to keep in touch with the community. But you can teach and keep in touch with us either by going directly to our website and making the donation. But the phone number, or the website, is whfr.fm, and the phone number is 313-317-4130. We're going to go back to another segment of one of the Tuesday Forum shows to give you a taste of what was on the first Tuesday of last month.
Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the malt shop.
We're going to forward
right
a little
here
bit here.
Right here on WHFR.FM.
Yeah. Don't go. You have can find out more information.
Here it is.
Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. And our guest today is Paola Harris. Ms. Harris is an Italo-American photojournalist and investigative reporter in the field of extraterrestrial-related phenomena research. She is also a widely published freelance writer, especially in Europe. She has studied extraterrestrial-related phenomena since 1979 and is on personal terms with many of the leading researchers in the field. From 1980 to 1986, she assisted J. Allen Hynek with his UFO investigations and has interviewed many top military witnesses concerning their involvement in the government truth embargo. She has authored several books on the UFO topic to include Connecting the Dots, Making Sense of the UFO Phenomenon, Exopolitics, Stargate to a New Reality, and her most recent book is UFOs, All the Above and Beyond. And Paola has lectured all over the world, has been interviewed for many TV and radio shows, as well as in a new video, Fast Walkers. And she has her own radio show called The Paola Harris Report, once a month on the KGRA, the Global Radio Alliance. She has a master's degree in education and teaches history, photojournalism, and online classes in exopolitics for Dr. Michael Salas, Exopolitics Institute, for which she is the international liaison director. And we are happy to have her with us on the line today. Welcome to the show, Paola.
Well, thank you very much. And let me add that I do not have a radio show in KGRA. That was like years ago.
Really?
Years and years ago. I am doing the investigative journalist work. I mean, that's like the detective work around UFOs. But my biggest venture is the Laughlin, Nevada conference, which is 11-11, you know, November 10th, 11th, and 12th in Laughlin. And that I run through my company, Starworks USA, where I have, you know, I brought back a conference that used to be there. And I bring in all kinds of speakers from all over the world. So instead of doing, you know, what I did in the past, I moved on to trying to bring people together for an intelligent dialogue in a conference situation in Nevada.
Right. Okay, so that kind of answers a question for me. I got this bio off the web, and I guess it's an old bio then, huh?
Yeah, but I sent you my new one, but that's okay. I still teach exopolitics classes. I have still published 5 books in Italian and Spanish. And, you know, I still am a Italo American journalist because I was born in Italy and did 25 years work in Italy. So all of that's still real.
Right. Yeah, all that's still real. And, yeah, when I read the new video, Fast Walkers, I said, ooh, there was an old video, Fast Walkers. Well, at least...
No, yeah, that was... Fast Walkers is a great video if people can get it, because I am on that video with Monsignor Corrado Balducci, of the Vatican. And Robert Miles made all the Fast Walker videos. He basically came to all Steve Bassett's ex-conferences so that he got me when I brought Monsignor Balducci there. And I'm trying to think of the year. I think it was probably 2009 or something.
2005.
Like 2005, yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, so I thought, in fact, I have a copy of that, and I dug that up, and I said, now this is called Fast Walkers, and it was 2005. There must be a new one, but that's the one to which referred.
No, there is no new one. There's been several attempts at disclosure with videos, and Fast Walkers was one, and then there's the Washington D.C. citizen hearings, and I was there for that. I sat in the front row for that. That was also under Steve Bassett. And so, you know, there's been so many attempts in this country to bring together serious people to have a discussion about this.
Right. Well, mentioning Fast Walkers and Balducci, tell us about Monsignor Balducci. He's no longer with us, is he?
No, he died, I think, in 2006. And I knew him really well, because when I lived in Rome, and I lived there from 1992 to 2007, I lived right next to the Vatican, so that he lived up the street from me. So we used to have these conversations over dinner.
Really?
And then also they invited us to lecture together. And he basically believed, like Father Funes, who came out in 2009 directly from the Vatican, that the cosmic cultures, or the ETs, were basically our brothers and sisters. And if you watch that Fast Walker video, he said they must be more evolved, otherwise they wouldn't have the technology to get here. And he said that we were on the bottom of the evolutionary rung of the ladder. In other words, we were the bottom of the bottom of evolution. And he also cites, in my book, I quote him, he's gone to the Bible and he said that Christ was quoted as in the Bible as being king of the universe, which means a whole bunch of planets. And it was done like 66 times in the Bible. So if he's king of the universe, there has to be other universe people out there that he's king of. So
right.
He has all these arguments. I mean, they're like, legal arguments to say that, you know, we're just one species of people that God has created to herald his glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's strange because, you know, Christianity always, all the religions tell us that man is one step below the angels, top of the pole as far as spirit and a physical is concerned. But that seems to be changing, wouldn't you say?
You know, you're going into an area about man. I'm looking around, and I don't think we're very evolved at all. I mean, we're living in an atmosphere of terror, hating each other, divisions, calling each other names, judging everybody.
Right.
I don't know where the consciousness element is evolved here. It's like, maybe like
Well, that's the taste of another Tuesday Forum. That was from the first Tuesday every month, and that was the show from March the 7th, and you can listen to it in its entirety because all of these shows, including this one, is going to be a podcast on our website. You just go to whfr.fm, click on Talk Shows, choose Tuesday Forum, and then go by date. And the first Tuesday Forum every month is We Are Not Alone, the segment of which you just heard. And the second and the fourth weeks are the Impact Shows, hosted by Lynn Grunst and Betty Daniels. And in the middle of the second and the fourth is the third week, and that's hosted by Mike Holloway, Metaphysically Speaking. Also, on the fifth Tuesday, Lynn Grunst, the host sitting in for Daddy G, coming up on the show right now, a Radiothon edition of The Malt Shop. Lynn hosts a special show on Tuesday Forum called Foodies on the 5th. There we go. Foodies on the 5th. So it's people who love and are interested in food, foodies. And it almost sounds like cooties. Sorry,
no.
I got misspoken there almost. But foodies on the 5th. And that's the fifth Tuesday of every month that happens to have one. And those shows are a lot of fun, all about food and recipes and cooking and different venues, restaurants around town, including, of course, the 5101 restaurant in that. So thank you for listening to the Tuesday Forum Radiothon edition. Please call in your pledge at 313-317-4130 or go right now to our website, whfr.fm. This is WHFR Dearborn.
I wonder who
wrote the Book of Life.